We are resuming our study through chapter 15 now, Leviticus. It's a chapter that deals again with God's holiness and then what he basically deems us to be, and that is holy. We are holy people because we have a holy God. We are deemed holy by God. He declares us to be holy and then tells us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So holiness is something very important to God. And holiness means wholeness, being whole or complete, not lacking anything, not being empty or a shell of a person, we would say, having fullness in purpose and life. Only that reality comes through Christ, as you know. You can only find fullness and purpose in life if you know Jesus Christ. And so we see again, this next chapter is dealing with holiness and the need for cleansing. Now, people say, man, how come God speaks so much about cleansing? Because we need it. Cleansing, man, it's the necessity, it's the need of our lives perpetually, not just occasionally, but perpetually. I know for me, in the physical sense, I take a shower every day. I cleanse every day, and you can be thankful for that. We would all appreciate it if you would do the same. It's good for us to get cleansed, to be clean. God said that his whole design for his people was that they would be a separated people or a cleansed people. So he gave them instructions on how to be cleansed, how to live cleanly. And it's important, of course, physically to be clean. It's important for the children of Israel through their history to bear out those instructions of cleanliness. It saved their lives more than once, being clean. But the purpose of true scripture is, of course, the spiritual application, the spiritual meaning. The cleansing that we experience is not necessarily so much physical as it is the spiritual cleansing that's continuously needed in our lives. We see in this particular chapter some very disturbing, for some people, embarrassing realities. So we're going to read through the chapter, and I'm going to go back, and we're going to talk about some things. If this is offensive to you, just remember this is your Bible. Some people say, is that really in the Bible? Oh, yeah. It's in there. Everything's in the Bible. Did you notice? Have you ever read through your Bible and go, huh, I didn't know that was in there. Whoa. Everything's in there. So let's look at this and see what this speaks of here. We'll go back over it here in just a minute. Verse 1 begins with, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. Every bed whereon he lieth that hath the issue is unclean. Everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. And he that sitteth on anything whereon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that toucheth the flesh of him that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that hath the issue has spit upon that is clean. If a man spits, in other words, on another man, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. Verse 9, and what saddle soever he rideth upon that hath the issue shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. And whomsoever he toucheth that hath the issue and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And the vessel of earth that he toucheth which hath the issue shall be broken. And every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he hath that issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, bathe his flesh in running water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take unto him 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priests. And the priest shall offer them, the one for the sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. And if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening. Every garment, every skin upon where the seed of copulation shall be washed with water and be unclean until the evening. The woman also with whom a man lie with the seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. And the woman that hath an issue, her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, be unclean until the evening. And if it be on her bed or in anything whereon she sitteth when she toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. If a woman hath an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of her issue is uncleanness. She shall be separated, she shall be unclean. Every bed, verse 26, whereupon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of separation. Whatsoever she sitteth upon be unclean as uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then shall she number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean, and on the eighth day she shall take 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer for one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. Thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law of him that hath an issue, and of him whose seed goeth from him and is defiled therewith, and of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that hath an issue of the man and of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean. Now, this is one of the chapters that are commonly skipped. Many times you'll read commentators' descriptions of chapters they're going through, and they just completely skip over this one. Like it's not even part of the commentary. They just say, well, we'll just move on. Because it seems so personal. And it is personal. But what I want you to see here is that men, women alike, both of the sexes, both man and woman, have issues. Amen? I like the term that's used there in verse 2, running issues. Some people have running issues. And I don't just mean physically, I mean spiritually. There are issues for all of us. And what I want you to notice here is that anything, listen, and what's being described here, folks, is not that having sex between a husband and wife is dirty or sinful. It's not, but it can be. Anything that comes from the flesh, however, is defiled. Anything. So any of these, what we would call fluids of the flesh, they're all defiling. Anything that comes from your flesh is defiled. The Apostle Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So don't get hung up here on whether or not, you know, a man or a woman here having normal bodily functions, so to speak, or abnormal bodily functions, which are described as well. Some of these things are just normal issues. Some of them are abnormal. It doesn't really make any difference. They're all defiled. Everything that comes from the flesh is defiling. So we got to get that down, first of all, before we understand what these running issues really stand for. In this world, folks, we see and we hear all kinds of filth. Our flesh is attracted to filth. Your old nature is attracted to stuff that doesn't belong in your new nature. You understand that. So there's this constant need for dealing with that. And if it's not dealt with, then it just runs and continues to run and turns into a running issue. Goes on and on and on. Anybody experienced that? Anybody had a running issue? And I don't mean you can't stop running. You've got an issue that runs on and on and on. Chapter 15 deals with these running issues. These issues that keep going, going, and going. But note this, these running issues are primarily centered on the private parts of the person's life. All these things deal with the private parts. Parts that we don't like to talk about, especially in mixed company. Although I find it interesting, the Bible here just spells it out. God just speaks it. Here it is. Take it. Listen to it. Grow from it. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said this, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. These are the issues, really, of the flesh, if you would. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The running issues come from the heart. The issues that run on and on from our flesh are those things that began in the heart. So for the sake of this discussion, in this first section of chapter 15, we're going to call this fluids of the flesh. Not a necessarily appealing title, I admit, but true. We all experience fluids of the flesh. And if they come out in your life, listen, if they are out here, then they have been a problem for a long time. Once something comes outward in your flesh, it's been inward for a long season. And these issues, these running issues, are primarily a continued problem because they don't get dealt with. Not nearly as much as things that have come out, so to speak. So I know for me, I deal with those outward things that are obvious. Amen? You know what I'm saying? The things that are out here, oh yeah, I need to correct that because somebody will spot it. Somebody will see it. Somebody will know what that is. But running issues internally can be hidden for long periods of time. And yet, they are just as deadly and big problems for us internally. And if there's a problem internally, there will be a problem externally. Guaranteed. It will happen. It may take some time. And sometimes people think that they're fooling, you know, this truth. Like, I'm getting around this truth. I'm hiding this, or I'm keeping this secret and nobody knows about it. So these things oftentimes tend not to get dealt with like some blatant outward things. I want you to notice in verse 4, every bed whereon he lieth that hath an issue is unclean. Every place he sits is unclean. Whatever he touches, you know, is unclean. Every bed that he lies, everything that this person touches, or everywhere he goes, if you would, is unclean. You know, the bed speaks of laying on your bed at night and pondering, thinking about things. What do you think about when you're by yourself in bed, just lying there? See, a man with a running issue oftentimes will think about that, whatever that issue might be. He might ponder it affectionately. He might think about it with some enjoyment. See, God knows what you're thinking when you're laying on your bed. So even though nobody else knows what's going on, God's like looking right in. He's like listening into your personal conversation of your mind. That's scary, isn't it? That's a little intimidating. God's listening in on every single thought. So wherever you are, lying in your bed, thinking about these things, if you sit down at a table, it says wherever you sit, that place could be defiled as well. Because sometimes running issues are things that will come out in conversations with others. You might find yourself without really purposing it to be so or necessarily trying to make it happen, but you may find yourself poisoning conversations because you've got a running issue. Because when you're harboring something in your heart, inside, it will breed contempt, whether you think it is or not. And that contempt will come out oftentimes in conversation, and you could be poisoning conversations that are going on at your table. The saddle, he says there, wherever you go, there's defilement. Wherever you go, if you spit on somebody, that would be rude. But it speaks of spewing out stuff, just spewing. These are all running issues, if you would. Note that whoever is around this person, if they touch what they touch, they're defiled as well. So what this means is, this running issue you have, this running issue I might have, is not just defiling me, it's defiling others. Anyone who comes into contact with me is getting defiled. Now, let me spell this out so you don't get the idea that I'm only talking about one thing. This is talking about natural flows of your physical body, God says, are unclean, which means that these are flowing from the flesh, which is always unclean. So I want you to note something here. This could be anything that displeases God, these issues, anything that displeases God. And I find that oftentimes the reason these issues aren't dealt with readily is because they have come to be accepted by us and by others, even though we know they're wrong, even though we know they're not good and they ruin lives and they hurt people, such as gossip. Some people don't ever deal with gossip because it's one of those underlying issues that everybody kind of does it, kind of thing. So it doesn't get dealt with. It should be slammed. It should be taken out and drawn and quartered in your life, talking about people. Envy. Envy is one of those things, just lying there under the surface. You envy somebody. You envy what they have or who they are. It never gets dealt with because I have a right to feel that way, we think. Jealousy. Ooh, that's a good one. I'm jealous of that or them. Sometimes, I don't know if you can relate to this, sometimes hurt feelings. Somebody hurt my feelings. Therefore, I have a right to have a running issue with this. This often breeds the justification for gossip. Don't you think? They hurt my feelings. Let me tell you about it. They hurt me. Let me just tell you how much they hurt me, and let me just fill you up with this junk that's in me because I got my feelings hurt. All kinds of secret things, secret sins, under the radar. Sometimes you just got to watch, folks, what comes out of your heart, what comes out of your mouth even, because out of the heart proceeds those things, right, that your mouth speaks. In 2 Timothy 2, Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, verse 16, he says this, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker." Words have potency. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Is that true? No. Words can hurt way more than sticks and stones. Words have power, and so what you speak has an effect, whether you want to think it does or not. Some people might say, nobody cares what I say. I bet they do. I bet somebody cares what you say. And when you speak certain things, like Paul describes here to Timothy, some things you speak could eat people up. So what is the result of your words? When you speak, are people eaten up or are they fed? Are they built up or are they eaten up? You ever heard somebody speak something to you that just ate at you? That's just eating me up. Some people are experts at saying things that eat people up. You want to be, I want to be, those who are building up, who speak things that feed people, not cause people to get eaten up inside. I bring this to your attention because I think this is really the kind of center of all that's being discussed here in this idea of issues of the flesh. People don't like to confess these issues. In fact, people don't often express or confess these running issues because we like to confess issues of the past. We're really taken with, we have an affection for confessing things of our past. You know, and these are good. Testimonies are great, aren't they? Isn't it great to hear a wonderful testimony of what God did? The danger with this is this. I want to speak about, I want to confess the things that God has done in my past. And he's done some great things, perhaps for you, for me. But the problem is we can do that and never get to the point where we deal with and confess the issues of the present. I might tell you, I might confess to you, testify to you that I was an alcoholic. You might confess to me, tell me you were a drug addict. Someone might say, yeah, I used to be involved with this. I used to be in gangs and I used to, whatever. And we don't mind doing that. But what you don't find all that often is people saying, you know, right now, I'm dealing with gossip. I like saying things that make people feel small. And I kind of enjoy it. I like it. I think I got a running issue. I'm dealing with desire that is unnatural. It's sick. Some people won't confess that, even though it's true. Oh, but they'll confess something they did years ago. that God dealt with for them. You understand, these are running issues because they haven't been dealt with. An issue will end. It won't be a running issue if it's dealt with. But the dealing with it is the important part. And you have had things dealt with in your past. I have had things dealt with. But there are things right now that can be ignored. Because I don't know about you, but I can so much more easily say I did that years ago than I do this now. Doesn't it sound better to say, yeah, back then when I was a loser, God came through for me. Boy, was I messed up. Love to talk about that. Talk about that all day with someone. I can get a testimony out of that. Hey, I've been delivered from all kinds of things. Oh, boy. Yeah? Seneca, who was a Roman philosopher, served with Caesar Nero. That must have been a problem. Seneca was known for making all these sayings, you know, and many quotes are available you can look up. One of the sayings of Seneca was this, and it's interesting because it ties into our discussion. Seneca said this, "Why is there no man who confesses his vices? It is because he has not yet laid them aside." He doesn't discuss them because he hasn't dismissed them, we would say. If it's dismissed, I'll discuss. Like past things that God delivered from you. Sure, let's talk about that all day. We can really go off on that. Man, do you have any running issues? What are you talking about? What do you mean running issues? It's interesting. Sometimes the best thing that happens to a person is they are exposed. They may not think so. But something comes out. It blows up the hidden thing. It blows up the secret thing. And for them, it's tragic. It's embarrassing. It's a catastrophe. But now it's out. And do you know what happens more times than not? They deal with it. You know, internal bleeding. Internal bleeding can go unnoticed for a period of time, but it will kill you. Running issues can go undetected, perhaps, undealt with for a period of time, but they will kill your walk. They will destroy your life. Sometimes it's just a little at a time. These things that go on and on and on. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's fascinating to me. I like studying these things. But, you know, doctors did not realize, never came to the conclusion that cleanliness was needed in terms of, you know, operating on somebody and getting blood all over. They would just move from one patient to another with the blood on, they didn't wear gloves even. Just, and they did this without thought. Do you know when they finally figured out or came to the conclusion, discovered that it would be a great idea to clean your hands before you touched another person? It was the mid-1840s. Just a little over 160 years ago. Wouldn't you think they would have figured this out a long time ago? The Bible's been around for thousands of years, and yet it was the mid-1840s when a doctor was doing some research on why women who were giving birth were getting this infection that was killing them. And it was because the doctors It's kind of gross. But the doctors who were delivering the babies were also doing autopsies. So without washing, I'm doing an autopsy. Time to give birth to this baby, right? And this infectious flesh would affect the mother, and she would get this infection. And they were dying off. And this doctor finally figured it out. And did you know that the medical society that doctor was working with rejected him? Called him out on, you're going to make us wash our hands after everything we do? And here's the interesting thing. Do you know that to this day, the greatest cause of infection in hospitals today is cleanliness? See? So this whole thing has been going on, not only on a physical sense, but spiritually, do you understand this is true? So when you come through this, folks, and walk through this, you understand that running issues are evidence of our continual sin nature running itself through us. It's just a condition of our sinful nature. And it's not just issues we can abstain from or pull away from. These are things that you can't even help. Some of these things described that we just read through in this chapter, a person couldn't even help it. It was just something that happened to them. But it didn't matter. It was still defiling. That's why Paul said that, hey, I can't do anything right. Romans 7. He says, I don't want to do these things, but I do them. I want to do this, but I don't. Our old nature can't help itself, you see. So what's the answer to this? This constant flow of the flesh, this issue that's running all the time, going on and on. Before I share the answer with you, I want to read you a letter I got yesterday. I get these periodically. This one's from Victorville, California, and State Penitentiary down there. And it's addressed to you as well as me, so I'm going to read it to you. Because the answer for issues of the flesh that run on and on, the issue is, as we'll look at here, three things: brokenness, bathing, and blood. Brokenness of your spirit, bathing in the water of the word, and the blood covering of Jesus Christ. This brother writes to us from the State Penitentiary down in California. Dear Bandon brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. May we be more often aware of his loving teaching than not. For nearly 5.5 years, I've listened to Pastor Matt on 90.3, the CSN channel, down here in Victorville, California area. The truth taught consistently has helped me learn quite a bit, along with some of the other teachers on the radio. Thank you for this fruitful broadcast. For reasons I can only attest to my lazy sin nature, I have not written to express my thanks or to request prayer before now. I do fully believe in God's goodness and his promises as laid out in Scripture. My request to you, my family, and Jesus is prayer. On behalf of the unsaved folks here in this prison, both staff and prisoners, and for the salvation of the many unsaved members of my family in physical birth. My multiple sentences are well deserved from my former life. I've served 15 years so far in federal prison and still face further prosecution for other past deeds. Again, I will deserve whatever sentence is meted out, if even the death penalty of which I now face. There's no longer fear of any of that, though. I'm a believer and a follower of Christ these days. And God willing, will remain an active follower all the days this side of heaven. There is much opportunity to minister, to spread the truth of the gospel, and to keep learning and producing the fruits of love in these places. So I also would ask for prayer for God to use me as he knows is best in the work to be done anywhere I'll be, and for whom anyone he would direct me. May we grow in his grace, in the loving name of our Christ. Amen. Thank you, family. Freddie. P.S. Pastor Matt, you crack me up sometimes, brother. Keep up the good humor in all seriousness. Perspective. So here's a man facing the death penalty who knows what he's done. Lots of bad stuff. Going to heaven. He's been affected by the word, not by me. Not by anybody else, just the word of God speaking to him in that prison. The Holy Spirit moving into that place and speaking to him. The word is doing something in that man's heart. Over in verse 12, it says this, "The vessel of earth that he toucheth hath the issue and shall be broken." The vessels that they used in those days, clay pots, the inside of which, most of them were what we would say were unglazed. You know what glazing is in pottery. The glazing seals the porous pottery. Without glazing, the pottery is porous and thus absorbs whatever it is. So if a vessel was used in defilement, somehow someone defiled it, touched it in some way, then it would have absorbed that. And the only thing you could do with that vessel would be to break it. You and me are known as these earthen vessels. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 4:7, where he describes the fact that we have this treasure of Jesus Christ and his gospel in earthen vessels. Worthy earthen vessels. So an earthen vessel would have to be broken if it was defiled because it has absorbed the foul stuff, whatever it is that's touched it or come in contact with it. This is the first step for me. When it comes to this running issue, I won't be free from it. Whatever it is, listen to me, whatever that running issue is for you, and they're running through your mind right now probably. Something's running through your mind that's an ongoing issue for you. And you're thinking, do you know what that is? No, I don't. And you're glad about that. But God knows what it is. The Lord knows what it is. You know what it is. The only way we can be free from that, I find, is to be broken. The vessel has to be broken. I need brokenness. David declared, you know, that he wanted the Lord to break him. Psalm 51 describes the breaking down, literally, of David after his sin with Bathsheba, which he did not confess. He would not confess for almost a year. And finally, when Nathan, the prophet, came to him, David finally confessed it. And Psalm 51 is the result of that confession. He wrote that psalm after he confessed to Nathan and confessed to the Lord. He broke the running issue because he was broken. That's the only way to break it. If you can't, listen, if you can't get to a place where you're broken over that thing, then it's never going to be broken. And let me say this. Sometimes when you face this kind of issue in your life, when you stare it right in the face, it will either break you or you'll harden. You know, this truth, folks, this reality, someone wisely said at one point, our human nature is the ever-flowing fountain of uncleanness. It's just flowing all the time. And it's defiling and it's putrid and it needs to be dealt with. Whether you're awake or asleep, whether you're sitting or standing, whether you're traveling or staying home, you're defiled in your flesh. Humanity can be very proud. My humanity can be very proud. My personality can exhibit pride. But I look at this chapter, this truth right here, and it's deeply humbling for me. This humbles any man, I believe, who's honest with himself. It's like a mirror being held up in front of you. Take a look at it. Do you know, sometimes people, when they look in the mirror of God's word, they'll take something and try and break the mirror. Because looking in it is too painful. If you break the mirror, then you're refusing to be broken. You've got to let the mirror break you, not the other way around. And let me just say, lots of people out there have broken the mirror. And they perpetually do this. Every time the word of God speaks to something in their life, they break it. No, I'm not looking at that. And because they break it, they won't be broken. Brokenness is a necessity for breaking the chains of running issues. Verse 13, when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then shall the number himself be 7 days for his cleansing, and he shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in running water and shall be clean. So the second thing here after brokenness is bathing. The man was to bathe his flesh in running water. The word of God is the water. You know that. We are to wash in the water of the word and so forth. But it's interesting that the running water here is used like a continuous flow of water just being poured over this man. And it's fascinating to me because bathing his flesh was necessary in this running water process. We understand, makes sense, doesn't it? A running issue needs running water. Continuous flowing. So if you have a running issue, you got to keep pouring the water on it until it's washed. Running issues, running water. Psalm 119 verse 9 says this, wherewithal can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How does a young man cleanse his way? By pouring the water over himself. The washing, the bathing of the word of God is necessary for a running issue like this. And then finally in verse 15, the priest shall offer them the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. He takes these two turtle doves and kills them, one for a sin offering and one, you see, for a burnt offering. The blood needed to cover. The blood covers your issues, folks. The blood covers my issues. But I also need bathing in the water. I also need brokenness over my condition. These are all part of your relationship with God. And you tell this to people. You explain this to people, especially people who aren't saved, who don't know the Lord. And they say, man, this sounds heavy, or this sounds painful. This sounds messy. I mean, you're talking breaking and then washing and then blood. And I mean, whoa, this isn't what I had in mind. No, you'd never have this in mind. We would never have this in mind. Our flesh never has this in mind. But God has this in mind. This is God's formula. This is God's way. One thing I pray about frequently is asking God to give me a more sensitive heart towards sin. Especially, this might sound funny, especially those things that go unnoticed. Heighten the sensitivity of those things, Lord, because they will tend to be ignored. Obvious things are pretty easy to spot. But those little things, how I speak to someone, what I say to them, and what's the heart behind it? How do you speak to your spouse? How do you talk to your kids? How do you deal with people? More importantly, what do you think about people? How do you think about them? Are you justified in talking trash about somebody in your mind? Those are deadly little running issues, folks. It's so common, we don't even think it's sin. It runs through us so commonly, so easily, we don't even identify it as wrong. I don't even think about the problem that's being produced in my heart as I'm thinking about this person, or, yeah, what's up with them? Justify it. Oh, that's not, I've got other big things to be concerned about. I'd be praying about that one right there. I'd be praying about those things you think aren't a big deal because they are running issues. They're so under the radar, you never seem to deal with them. I never seem to get them dealt with. You know, that second part of the chapter talking about women having issues of blood, it reminds me of the woman in Matthew chapter 9. You remember she had an issue of blood 12 years? According to this description, that woman was absolutely separated from society and any form of religious activity, according to the Jews. Because her issue was ongoing. Her issue of blood was ongoing. Therefore, she could not go to any of the functions. She could get, you know, only a certain distance from people before they would have to be considered defiled themselves. So you understand in the story there, in Matthew 9, when the woman pressed in with the rest of the crowd, she was defiling everybody. She was trying to get to Jesus so she could touch the hem of his garment, remember? She said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be healed, because that's Jesus. But she, in the process, was bumping into all kinds of people. And Jesus himself, as she touched the hem of his garment, what's it say about that? If anything's touched by them, it has to be, whoa, that's got to be cleansed, washed. You gotta stop everything and wash that. It's unclean. And so everything, including Christ, if this was true and played out, everybody's defiled. Jesus' garment was defiled. Everything was messed up because of this woman's issue. But isn't it interesting, this woman with the issue of blood, she had a terrible problem, didn't she? But she touched the one who's a specialist in terrible problems. And this is the key here. All my issues. Woman had an issue for 12 years. I've had issues longer than that. You, amen, huh? Some of the issues I've got are longer than 12 years running. But the answer is to touch him. Touch Jesus. He knows what to do. He stopped her flow. She knew it. Power left him and healed her. She knew that she was healed. That was the answer for her. That's the answer for me. I'll guarantee you take a running issue to Christ. Take your running thing to the Lord and say, Lord, would you touch this? And man, it will stop. Because when you take it to him, that means you mean business. It means that you're ready for brokenness. You're ready for bathing. You're ready for the blood to cover that. Remember at the Last Supper when Jesus was going around washing the disciples' feet, and Peter said, no, Lord, not my feet. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said to him, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. In other words, Peter, no washing, no intimacy. And this is where it boils down to. You can run the rest of your life out without ever dealing with these running issues, whatever they are. God loves you, forgives you. But I always think about what Jesus said to Peter. If you don't let me wash you, then there's no intimacy. The fellowship, Peter, is not going to be sweet. The nature of all these issues that we're talking about, it's counter Christ. They're literally anti-Christ. They're against him. They're in opposition to him. So therefore, letting him touch them is the answer to stopping, to preventing. Oh yeah, you'll be broken. Yes, you'll be bathed. Yes, the blood will have to cleanse and wash over you. It's the process. It's life. It's the way it is. But I want to stop. I don't know about you. I want to stop these running issues in my life. And this is the way it works. Not because I'm better than you if I do. There's some of the running issues. No, listen, no one would ever know that I dealt with it. For you as well. Nobody even knows you've got it. Whatever it is. So it's not like you're going to be considered better for it. Why do it then? Because you'll be closer to him. Because intimacy can be enjoyed with Christ. And there's nothing like that. There's nothing like being in his presence, knowing there's nothing standing between us, Lord. Here I am. With all my issues, here I am. Go ahead and touch that, touch those things. And I can be close to him. That's why it's worth it. Doesn't have anything to do with forgiveness here. Doesn't have anything to do with whether or not God loves you anymore. It has everything to do with how close I can be with him or not. There's just certain things God can do with me when I'm cleansed, when I don't have these running issues. I can be used more powerfully in a person's life by speaking something that feeds them, that nourishes them, builds them up, makes them appreciate the fact that God loves them so much. I can be used in that if I speak in such a way. I can also speak in such a way where somebody's getting eaten up. Like, wow, that was mean, or that was cruel, or that was demeaning, or that made that person feel small, or whatever it might be. And that breaks intimacy with Christ. Well, I didn't do it to Christ. I said it to them. Can't separate between what you do with people and what you do with Christ. You can't separate who you are with them and who you are with him. What you say to them, you say to him. What you think about them, you think about him. And that can break fellowship. That can distance intimacy. I don't want that. That's why this is important. Not because I'm better, I'm doing so good and you're not, or whatever. It's about me being close to the Lord. And he says, be holy like I'm holy. And let's have fellowship. Quit thinking that way about those people. Quit harboring that bitterness about that person. Quit justifying the way that you put them down in your thinking. Quit lying on your bed and pondering sins that you've committed with some faint enjoyment that you're trying to hide that you really are enjoying, but you don't want anybody to think so, even yourself. Stop it. Go to the Lord with it and say, listen, God, I'm just defiled. I got running issues. And the only cure is to touch Jesus. So touch me, Lord, and free me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you speak to these things. Things that run on and on and on that you would love for us to be freed from. Pray that today would be the day. For some, it's just going to be another broken mirror. But perhaps for others, the vessel will break. And the bathing will take place, and the blood will cleanse and wash, and there'll be a fruitful intimacy between you and us. That's our prayer. That would be our hope today. Thank you for your word, Lord. Even the tough passages, they're profound in their truth. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.